Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
8:33 on a Thursday morning, so a little Friday food club. And Little Piggy is a successful wedding and catering event business based in Long Stanton. Like everyone else, they've needed a rethink on how to run things. And the answer has been a series of pop-up restaurants. It's all run by Charlie McLaughlin, and she is with us this morning. Good morning, Charlie.
Morning, Julian. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much indeed. Let's rewind a little bit, if you don't mind. When did it all start for Little Piggy?
When I had my children, I had twin boys in 2010. And shortly afterwards, I decided that I didn't want to go back to my corporate job and that environment, and I wanted to set up my own company.
Oh, so what was the corporate job then?
I used to work for a produce company, Produce World. They supply big supermarket retailers with fruit and veg.
Okay.
So I started my career out in the fields, looking at fruit and veg with farmers, and went from there really. So I've always had a career in food. I did my degree in agriculture back in the day.
Right. So you've literally worked your way up then, by the sounds of things.
Yes. Yeah, right from the field straight into the kitchen. Yeah.
So how empty has this summer been for you?
Well, back in March, we just put on the TV, and shortly afterwards, the diary just emptied. It was just like draining, you know. Just phone call after phone call. We had a full diary planned of weddings. Every single weekend was in the diary, and just gradually they all disappeared.
I guess we all had that sort of frantic moment after, you know, Boris did his record-breaking TV audience viewing broadcast. And I remember I was chatting with over WhatsApp with a couple of our engineers saying, OK, so how are we going to run a radio station if people aren't actually supposed to come in? And then, like you, some of the sort of the outside broadcast events that we might have done during the year, you know, one by one, those pages were ripped out of the calendar.
Yeah, I mean, it was you know, I was stunned in silence, which doesn't happen very often, Julia. I had 4 or 5 weeks just taking stock, spending time with the kids, and you know, enjoying the sun, because it was really sunny back in April, and just thinking, yeah, right, okay, nice little break, and then realised that this wasn't a nice little break. You know, this was here for the foreseeable future, and we had to do something because, it wasn't going away.
Yeah, and presumably those events would have been in the diary for goodness knows how many months, particularly with weddings. People plan them goodness knows how far in advance.
Yeah, we get initial inquiries 2 years in advance of weddings. So some of those couples had had their hearts set on dates in 2020 for a couple of years. And we had to have some really, really devastating conversations with couples who'd planned everything, who had to either put things on hold, or in some unfortunate cases who, you know, then decided to cancel completely.
And what have they done? Have they said, oh, Charlie, can you do us the same date in, or near enough the same date, in 2021? Or are they holding on with a bit of uncertainty, because like all of us, we don't quite know is what's going to happen and how it's going to pan out over the next few months?
Well, yeah, I mean, initially they all rebooked for the similar week next year. And really, when they did that in the summer, everyone kind of thought, yeah, that'll be fine, you know, next year's another year. But as it looms closer, we're starting to wonder, you know, because those ones that were rescheduled for April and May, we, as you know, not certain by any stretch of the imagination that they're still going to be able to go ahead.
Yeah. So with an empty summer and an uncertain 2021, you've obviously had a little think about doing something different with the business, and you've started in the past few weeks or so some, I guess it's a sort of a pop-up restaurant, though I think it's coming very possibly from where you're speaking to us now from.
Yeah, it's, luckily I had the fortunate ability to be able to change my workspace into a restaurant area. So we have a beautiful building that I work from and prepare food for the catering business, and we just put some tables in there. It's a nice big space, and it's also a nice ambience in there. So we just put some tables in there, and we can do what we do best, Julian. We absolutely love making food. I am a feeder. I just love to feed people, and so I'm happy. I'm in the kitchen. I've just taken a break now from chopping vegetables. I'm back in the kitchen creating menus, and you know, it's given me the opportunity to think a little bit about some of the menus, take stock and redesign some dishes and have a try out of some dishes that we might go onto our menu for next year. So it's been a really nice creative opportunity for me, as well as a necessity in terms of getting some bums on seats and getting some people eating again.
So give us an example then of the kind of things that you're serving up.
Well, for example, this week we're busy making Persian smorgasbord, if I want to put that. It's a meze.
Mixed cultures, as ever there was, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Straight from Yorkshire. I love Persian food. I love the spices, the interesting mix of flavours, and it's quite an influence on our menus. As a catering company for weddings, we do a lot of feasting and grazing food, really opulent displays, beautiful displays, and lots of colour, lots of flavour, lots of texture. And we wanted to bring that to the restaurant, so we're doing Persian grazing food this pop-up for, what day is it, tomorrow? It's Friday night tomorrow. So we're getting that all ready today. But each week we decided to do a supper club on a Friday night. And each week we're doing a slightly different menu. So it'll appeal to people to come back again for maybe something a bit different, but also gives us a chance to do something different so we don't get bored of the same menu, Julian.
And how different is the kind of food that you're serving up on the Fridays? How does that differ to the... You mentioned grazing food is very popular at weddings, and I dare say at some of the corporate events perhaps as well. So is it the same variations on the same dishes, or are you having to go back to the cookbooks, go to the reaches of the mind and think of something else, because people, when they're coming out for an evening, may want something just ever so slightly different to what they might have at an event during the day?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a mixture, really, and that's the beauty of our supper club, is that we don't have a fixed menu and we can do a bit of both. You know, we do some dishes that are very different to what we do for a wedding. For example, some plated starters, because we do mainly grazing and sharing food for weddings, which are put down the middle of the table for people to dig into. And particularly with COVID, people aren't as keen on sharing their food at the moment with other people on the table. So we are doing some more plated food than we possibly normally do. But yeah, we're still, you know, for couples who are coming out for dinner, it's still nice to share. So we are still doing some sharing boards. And we're doing a street food. So street food is kind of where Little Piggy started, because I started as a hog roast company. So we're doing a street food tapas night. We've actually had to add two further dates to that because it's been very popular. People are loving this idea. So it's a street food night where we're doing all sorts of little bits of street food as a tapas kind of vibe. So,
well, that sounds really good.
that is really popular. And slow smoked brisket, beef brisket, and my slowly becoming famous pork belly in barbecue sauce, and all these kind of dishes. So slow cooked meat is something that I absolutely love to do. We're also looking at doing a vegan night. One of the girls, Katie, that works for me, she used to be vegan, and obviously that's a massive movement, and living on a plant-based diet, so we're doing a vegan night as well. So that is definitely stretching my culinary abilities based on the fact that my history is all in meat.
I was going to say, a bit of if you're starting from hog roast and going to vegan, that's definitely a bit of a leap. Well, there's a brunch as well that you're running as well. Is that on a Sunday morning, Sunday lunchtime?
Yeah, so I just love Sunday brunch. It's my favourite meal of the week, I think. I love bread, I think. Sourdough bread. So we're doing lots of things on toast. I know, it's so good. Bread and butter. Well, you know, my grandma used to say, there's nothing that you can't make better with a little bit of butter. So sourdough toast with all the lovely avocado toppings, things like that. So we're doing on a Sunday, apart from this week, which is a Saturday, we're doing every week Sunday brunch. So that's great. yeah.
That sounds
cooking
fab.
Cooking to the menu, love it.
Tell me a little bit about your suppliers. Have you, you know, phoned up some old contacts to get some stuff in, or where are you looking for example, for the meat and indeed the veg for that matter?
Yeah, well, we use lots of local companies. So we have had a long relationship with Leach and Sons Butchers. They have a small abattoir over in Melbourne, and they. Based at Burwash Manor, they've got a shop there.
Oh, yes, yes, I know exactly
you know
who you mean.
And, well, their sausages are incredible.
So. Oh, aren't they? First sourdough, now the thought of Leach's sausages. This is not good.
So I've had a great relationship with them right since day one, and they've been supplying all my meat. So I'm getting my meat from them. In terms of veg, Les Ward's provide all my veg. They're obviously a very well-known fruit and veg supplier in Cambridge. And my bread, actually, a friend of mine, Michelle, she is a local chocolatier, I guess. She used to work at Midsummer House, actually. Anyway, she is an incredible baker, and she's just setting up her own bakery. Her sourdough is incredible.
That's a future programme sorted then. I've talked bread.
Yeah,
that's fab.
So that's where I'm getting my bread from. So, yeah, using local suppliers. Very, very important to us.
And how difficult has it been to run something out of the house with COVID guidelines? Presumably, you've previously had somebody with a clipboard come along and check you're okay to prepare food. Does that come under the same regulations, or did you need to have somebody come on by to make sure everything was okay?
Yeah, we've got all the relevant licenses from the South Cams. Mm. So it's, you know, preparing safe food. The environmental health team have been made aware of our operations, and we carry on doing what we do best and enjoying every minute of it.
Very much so. Final question. Is it true that part of your kitchen used to be a swimming pool?
It is true. It is very true.
How does that happen? Yeah. Why did you have to drain it, or what happened?
Yeah, we did. We had to drain it. I mean, I spent a lot of time in that room. When we moved in, it was a swimming pool in the garden, and we converted it into the kitchen. I just walked in with the estate agent and said, wow, this is going to make an amazing kitchen. And he looked at me as if to say, you are mad, woman. Indeed, I was, because I then spent 2 years... when I wasn't cooking, in a pair of raggy old jeans with a hammer in my hand, you know, knocking it down and having a great amount of fun doing so. I absolutely love that project. So, it was a vision. I could see it in my mind's eye. I could see it exactly how it was going to look. And I'm delighted with how it turned out. It's just such a beautiful space. And the ambience in there is great, with high ceilings, lovely beams. So it is really a lovely place to come to enjoy an evening out.
Sounds good. Nice little trip to Long Stanton of a Friday evening or a Sunday lunchtime, perhaps. How do people find you, Charlie, if they want to book? Website address, please.
Yeah, it's www.littlepiggycatering.co.uk. We're pretty active on Facebook as well, so you can find us there, Little Piggy, and on Instagram, Little Piggy Catering Co. We give us a ring, drop in for brunch, find us online, and I hope you can find time to come on down. We'd love to see anybody who wants to take a trip to Long Stanton.
And why wouldn't you, with sourdough and sausages and pork belly and Persian food and all the rest of it? Charlie, lovely to speak to you this morning. Best of luck. That's Charlie McLaughlin from Little Piggy Catering. Takes us to 8:46.